This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Wednesday, October 5th. Jason Moore is here.
Howdy ho.
Mike Wright is here.
Howdy ho. That's what we're going with?
That's what I went with. It's not what I would go with now.
But in hindsight? You said it out loud.
Yeah, in hindsight, it was a mistake. But, you know, we live and we learn. We move on.
What do you even do if you approach somebody in real life on the street and you say hello, like a polite hello, and they respond with that? I mean, that's, do you like?
Wait, so if I just say that, then people will leave me alone?
I think so.
I don't think you could get to that level of enthusiasm, Mike.
Howdy ho.
Yeah, that's what you would get. You get like a Western
howdy
ho.
They would still leave you alone.
They would still leave. People leave you alone.
Excellent.
Automatically.
Excellent.
Yeah, because usually people say,
that guy's mad.
How's it going? And the response is, nothing.
Who's the guy from the app, you know, the soccer show.
Oi!
Oi!
Oh, Roy?
Yeah, Roy Kent in real life.
Okay.
Just a heart of gold under that mean facade.
He's a handsome chap.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's what I heard you say. Mike is very handsome.
Ride or die on the show today, Thursday night preview, NFL news to talk about, mailbag. The fantasy football universe is through 4 weeks. And so we've got data. We know which defenses are shaping up as some of the best in the league. Teams that are struggling, narratives that are not coming true or are coming true in a big way. So, you know, this is kind of an interesting time of year. I think it's the best time of year to frame trade offers and build out kind of what your future is going to look like. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree. I think that especially right now in the landscape after a month of football, you have a ton of disappointing running backs. And that's not going to stay how it is the entire season. You know, you look back last year, I think through the first 3 or 4 weeks, Jonathan Taylor, who obviously was the number one pick this year, I think he was like the running back 29 or 39. It was not good for the first couple weeks of Jonathan Taylor's season last year. This happens, and it's funny because if whatever bad thing happens in the first month of the season happens, you just move that month to the middle of the season, no problem. It was just a blip on the radar. But when it happens the first month of the season, oh, man.
Right. Joe Mixon?
Yeah, Joe Mixon's opportunities are through the roof, and he has squandered and, I mean, he has done very little with those opportunities.
Yeah, had a bunch of chances on the goal line, didn't get in. A lot of opportunities, expected points. Mike, do you agree that this is a good time to start building trade offers? Maybe, or are you kind of waiting a little bit longer? And does it depend on if you're, you know, 2-2, 3-1, 4-0?
I mean, you should always be looking to improve. Do not just sit on what you think is a fantastic roster. Because
Javonte can happen to you.
I mean, you know, the wins and losses are so big right now. And, you know, someone tweeted at me, like, oh, man, I'm 0-4. Like, I'm toast. I'm like, yeah, but what if you're 9-5 at the end of the year? I mean, that's something that can happen. So just make don't wave the white flag yet. Don't celebrate your championship yet. Make sure you're looking out there. And it's at this point, you have to trust the process of fantasy football of finding that volume. And Joe Mixon is a really good example of that. Will it actually get better for Joe Mixon? That's TBD, but you know that the opportunities are there. And if the offensive line just improves slightly, then Mixon will be tremendously better.
I think Austin Ekeler is a perfect little microcosm of this discussion. He's the RB3 on the year.
Sure. I mean, we're for and on the year numbers right now, when someone has just a spike week like that, when there's only been four games and you put up three touchdowns in 1 week, that's going to catapult you. I'm personally still concerned about Austin Ekeler.
Well, my point there is that, you know, the whole landscape of the running back position can be summed up in the fact that Austin Ekeler, in all of the struggles and tumult, is still sitting there at RB3 in total fantasy points.
Right.
Where, yeah, I mean, you may have a determination about him that's different, you know, about what he is moving forward, but it's just been a rocky road for a lot of those big stars. People don't know what to do with Alvin Kamara. You just lost Javonte Williams from the landscape.
You lost Jonathan Taylor, or you might have lost Jonathan Taylor for this week. If you haven't, you have a hobbled Jonathan Taylor. Christian McCaffrey hasn't been his normal elite self, even though
he's been very, very good.
Very good. He's disappointed the managers who drafted him number one. He hasn't been in the top six on a week yet as, you know, one of those huge wins.
There's a lot of parity at the NFL level right now, and I think that's happening a lot in fantasy. Like our entire division in our league of record is 2-2. Feels like a 2-2 type of year right now with the ups and downs, but we have a huge amount of the season left. The current Megalo Bowl leader, by the way, 8-0 with 706 points.
706?
The name of this user
is great.
The Shark from Jaws 3D.
Okay.
Is in first place.
Very specific.
Which, I mean, that is a name for the Megalo Bowl.
Yes.
So 706 points. Jason, are you sitting at 7-1?
I am sitting at 7-1.
You finally took an L.
I took an L because last week I scored the second most points in my league.
Oh no.
And I played the team that scored the most, but I went 1-1 in that format where you play against the league median.
All right, let's get into Ride or Die.
Ride or Die, presented by Chevrolet.
Last week, Jason and Mike both went 2-for-3 in Ride or Die. I was just 1-for-3. I should not have doubted Jamal Williams. What a mistake.
Well, we kept moving the line.
And that's true. That's right, until we found a
line where at least one person disagreed.
All right, week 5 Ride or Die predictions. Let's begin with Nick Chubb against the Los Angeles Chargers. The line, 100-plus rushing yards, which he has cleared in 3 of 4 games this year. The Chargers' defense has been disappointing, to say the least. 9th most yards per game given up. 6.1 yards per carry. Joey Bosa is out. Ride or die, Nick Chubb, 100 rushing yards.
It's a really good high line that I will ride. I believe that, you know, right now, the Chargers are 29th in fantasy points given up to the running back position. I like this game to hit the over. And Chubb is the heart of this team. He's just been unstoppable right now. Currently, I believe the running back number one in fantasy football.
I wanted to have a sidebar conversation here because Jason and I, you know, we were talking about Austin Ekeler, like of where, you know, I still have my concerns for him being that top tier player that you drafted. And it's okay. Let's the thought exercise. Who would you actually try to move Ekeler for after the big performance? And going through the names, like there's not a huge list of names where you'd actually like, well, yeah, I would take the upgrade to go to that. And meanwhile, here's Nick Chubb, the player that we didn't bring up in that conversation,
right,
who is the running back one, is dominating. And if I could, like, he's a very, very similar player to Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep saying, well, you know, Derrick Henry, he's elite. Derrick Henry has two terrible weeks so far. At like 50% of the games, he's been nothing close to what you expected. And we keep dismissing Nick Chubb for, well, he can't possibly keep this up for the season.
If I could trade Nick Chubb for Austin Ekeler, I would do it.
So that's what I really.
Yeah, because I want the pass catcher.
Yeah, and I just looked at this. Nick Chubb has scored in three consecutive weeks. He never did that one time last year.
Right, but perhaps this is an outlier season for him. I mean, he didn't score in week one, and yet was the running back 14 with 141 rushing yards.
Sure. So are you saying you believe that is happening? Because that is, you have to make that determination in your mind if you're going to go out
right.
and decline that kind of a trade or hang on to Nick Chubb to be your, you know, your top 10 star.
I don't know if I fully believe that Nick Chubb is that.
You just want to give him some respect.
But I want to bring up the name of, like, he is, despite what he has done for an entire month now, he still is not even mentioned in the top three, top five.
Yeah, because right now we were talking about who are the top three. We're like, okay, it's probably Saquon,
yeah,
Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey in the current landscape. And then you probably go a couple more before you get
you're like, well, Dalvin Cook. And it's like, well, Dalvin Cook was playing first and second down.
Here's something worth mentioning. He is 12% higher in terms of percentage of the snaps this year than he was last year, higher than the year before that. So, you know, trying to find that angle.
It's a good sign for it being sticky, because the big worry with Chubb is not just that he doesn't catch passes. That's number one. Number two is Kareem Hunt, that he splits work and can, you know, most of these other great backs, Saquon Barkley is not splitting work
right.
with Matt Breida. You know, Chubb has another good running back here, and we saw in week one when he got into the Hunt zone and Hunt was hunting those touchdowns down.
Denied.
So I'm glad you brought some respect here to Nick Chubb. Now, I really hope you die. Not personally, but I hope you choose to go against his 100-yard rushing line here after all that.
No, I'm going to ride.
All right.
I'm going to ride with Nicholas me. Chubb.
I guess I have to die then.
Oh, you're just going to play the game?
Well, I mean, I'm right on the edge here.
Did you hear me on the soapbox for Nick Chubb?
I did, but, you know, the defense, Cleveland's defense is missing some pieces, and the Chargers are due for an offensive kind of explosion, one of those upper echelon games. Like, Justin Herbert has been good, but I think he's sitting like 7 at the quarterback position right now, despite throwing 9 touchdowns in 4 weeks. So I think they're due for a big, big game. So I think that might put more of the Kareem Hunt snaps out there on the field. So I will go against you two. I'll play the game. Tyler Lockett against the New Orleans Saints. Will he have 6+ receptions? His last 3 weeks, 9, 9, 6, while seeing 11, 11, and 8 targets. I'm going to ride. Tyler Lockett's a great player.
I will hold your hand and ride alongside you. Obviously last week it was the DK Metcalf show until he had to leave the field for a dumpski.
It was still the DK Metcalf show.
It was, but during that time, that's when Tyler Lockett got a lot of his work. That being said, Marshawn Lattimore is there, and I think he will be focused more on DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett should be necessary for the Seahawks.
We're all waiting for the wheels to fall off for Geno Smith, and what if he doesn't stay like as hot as he is now? But what if Geno Smith figured something out with this offense
in the draft season?
I'm riding with Lockett.
To me, Lockett was just sitting there as an obvious value, despite all of the negative attention to the Seattle offense. It was just too late in drafts. Geno is completing a league high 77% of passes, and you say, "Oh, dink and dunk." No. Higher yard per attempt than Rodgers, Brady, Allen, Herbert, Mahomes. I think he's at 7.9.
Geno Smith.
So Geno is playing great football, and they're exactly the same right now as the Detroit Lions. They can stop nobody, but they can throw the football and move it down the field, and you have two talented wide receivers like Jared Goff and Geno Smith. If you're in a position where you have to stream them, you're going to make the person you play very upset. because losing to Geno Smith and Jared Goff, that's not a thing you really enjoy.
Yeah. The Listener League, our 14-teamer, my team finally showed up because they have not been. And I got destroyed by Geno freaking Smith.
How'd that feel?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah.
Terry McLaurin against Tennessee. Will he be a top 24 fantasy wide receiver? We know Jahan Dotson's going to miss the first four weeks for Terry McLaurin. 25th wide receiver, 37th, 21st, 76th. I mean.
And that first number 25 was saved by a late touchdown where he was not really involved much that game. Only had four targets. But Jahan Dotson out of the way. Tennessee, a pretty easy matchup. I want to see how you guys ride or die first.
I would feel more uncomfortable with this ride if it wasn't taking place in D.C. So I think them at home, no Jahan Dotson, target concentration going. Yeah, I'm gonna ride. I'm gonna jump in there with Terry McLaurin. I wish this was a top 30 line.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna ride.
I find that it is better to, you know, choose the non-ride route because it's like, you know, choosing unders. There's just so many other ways where a player cannot hit the line. Maybe other people do good and it's not his fault. Maybe an injury happens. But I actually like Terry McLaurin a lot this week. I like him in DFS. I think where he's priced versus not having Jahan Dotson there, which Curtis Samuel isn't taking targets away from Terry McLaurin. They play two different, you know, he's the slot, the short game. Jahan Dotson was actually taking some of those deep shots away from Terry McLaurin. With him out of the way, I think Terry McLaurin's a very good play. So I feel obligated to ride. And today, I think, is the first time I've ride.
It probably is because you've been so negative.
So negative, yeah. But let's ride.
Terry McLaurin is – where are we at Terry McLaurin, the player? Do we still consider him an upper echelon
He hangs
receiver?
Out with DJ Moore.
Okay.
They hang out together. They fro-yo. They talk about Carson Wentz and Baker Mayfield.
Exceptional athletes, very good wide receivers.
Well, he just got the bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. Here's a good standard. If you handed Terry McLaurin the Amon-Ra St. Brown role in Detroit, do I think he's a top 15 wide receiver? Probably. So he's good enough to be that.
My point was, how frustrating is it to cheer for Terry McLaurin, to have Terry McLaurin on your fantasy teams where his athleticism's off the charts, he's shown you he can be a true number one wide receiver, and yet he's pulling in 16% of the targets for Washington so far.
Yeah, I mean
that's not a number one wide receiver.
He was frustrating when he had all of the targets, being forced his way by Taylor Heineke because of the fact that some games it worked out, some games it didn't. Jahan Dotson's a great player. Curtis Samuel was non-existent last year. Long-term confidence in McLaurin in a dynasty league, I have none.
Sure. I just wanted to have the discussion of, like, what are you doing with a player who is so, so good? You know he's good, but you're not getting anything from him on the field reflective of what you believe he could be, or his draft spot. Top 24. Great opportunity to do it this week, but I'm gonna say die. I'm gonna bet against him.
Who would you rather have in a dynasty league, Terry McLaurin or Rashad Bateman?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
I'm going. It's very tough. This is not easy, but I lean the Bateman side. We've seen a lot of Terry McLaurin, and he's good, not great. And I think Rashad Bateman will be at least that. Well, so what Terry McLaurin is and has been, I think Bateman will get to that level. As Jahan Dotson gets better, and, you know, next year, Jahan Dotson easily could be the number one target in this
offense. I'd rather have Dotson than McLaurin in a dynasty league for sure.
Yeah.
If you go down the run of rookies really quickly, are there any of the rookies you would not take over Terry McLaurin? So Treylon Burks in a dynasty league.
I might still go McLaurin there.
I would take Burks.
That's the closest one that I can think of. But
so Olave Wilson, Jameson Williams. What about Alec Pierce, Christian Watson?
No.
You would take McLaurin?
I would take McLaurin there.
See, I would take both of those guys too.
Oh, wow. You're writing this week. Sounds like you want to kick McLaurin
out
of the
McLaurin only had four top 30 weeks all of last year. So writing is the wrong. We've all made the wrong decision except for Mike.
You can change your decision.
Nope. It's not,
I'm switching
in.
To die.
It's okay. Nope.
I allow it.
Nope. What?
Jason is he is in charge of ride or die, apparently.
Well, I'm changing mine in.
Are you going?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, and the reason I say that I would take all of those is because of what, like, Jason said it. McLaurin's good, not great. He's never going to demand more. He's not Jamar Chase. He's not Justin Jefferson. And he's 27 years old, which is insane. Like, he's never going to be – his ceiling has been established. They've put the ceiling in Dynasty Leagues.
It does.
They've installed it. And if you're happy with the ceiling and that suits your team better, cool. Because Alec Pierce may never hit that, and Christian Watson may never hit that ceiling. But at least they could install a higher ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, his career on the season, he was the wide receiver 28, wide receiver 21, wide receiver 25. He is a low-end wide receiver 2.
DJ Moore, Terry McLaurin, Dynasty. Last time I will ask a question about Terry McLaurin today.
I'm going to go DJ Moore in Dynasty, and the reason why is because
he's younger.
not just because he's younger. That is part of it, but I think there is a world with this upcoming schedule for the Carolina Panthers where they start closing up shop in a couple of weeks and they end up near the tippy top of the NFL draft. And if this is a good quarterback draft class, if they can actually end up drafting a legitimate, you know, if they get the number one, number two, number three pick and they can actually get a quarterback in there, and obviously they would replace Matt Rhule at the end of the season if they've got a top three pick, there's a glimmer of hope for DJ Moore's future.
Yeah, maybe in a few years he might become.
When he's 27.
Yeah. Okay, that was Ride or Die presented by Chevy Silverado. Learn more about Chevy Silverado at Chevy.com.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
I guess if you're drafting a quarterback at the tippy top, it's more hopeful than the situation. Like right now, we're all still doubting what Pittsburgh wide receivers will be able to do year one with Kenny Pickettsburg.
Sure. And the Manders.
Pickettsburg?
I'm trying them all, brother.
Oh, man. That was.
I'm trying them all.
Pickettsburg. I think I like that better than just Kenny Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickettsburg? I mean, it sounds so stupid.
Oh, they're all very stupid.
Kenny Pickettsburg. I like how stupid it is.
All right. The Keenan Allen situation in Los Angeles, labeled as day-to-day, has not played since week one, left Thursday last week early, likely a setback. I mean, is there any chance that he plays?
Doesn't seem like it. And even if he goes, that's super sketchy.
Yeah, it would be good for Herbert, but I don't know that you can put Keenan Allen in your lineup until you've got proof of concept.
It's like Chris Godwin this past Sunday with the game time decision. Okay, yeah, Chris Godwin had played a full game and was productive, but going into that matchup, I mean, like putting him into your actual lineup is with all of the things that could go wrong. You need to see 1 week.
Especially with a hamstring injury that seems like it's had a setback, because the chance of him coming back too soon off the setback is way higher than zero, all of a sudden you play a couple snaps and then he's out of the game.
Are you trading for Keenan Allen, and are you trading for Justin Herbert based on the return of Keenan Allen coming?
I think Herbert is a good target right now because his days are brighter ahead. He can be good with or without Keenan Allen. If Keenan Allen comes back, he's just going to be better. And Herbert hasn't really – I think he's disappointed most fantasy managers who drafted him high and expected, you know, a top two or three quarterback. So now's the time for me.
Tom Brady is not practicing today. He's in a T-shirt watching. Not sure if it'll be a rest day, his shoulder – part of the plan with a 45-year-old quarterback.
That hit, the hit he took during the game on his throwing arm was, it looked rough. I mean, he got right back in there, but it was
not just the T-shirt, Kyle.
That's all the report says.
Just the t-shirt? Donald Duck in it?
I don't know.
Oh.
And, this isn't Antonio Brown, okay? This is Tom Brady, future Hall of Famer. Antonio Brown would show up in just the t-shirt.
Yeah, he would. Tom Brady does have some personal off-the-field stuff going on, so maybe this is a power move.
By him?
Yeah, just showing up without your britches.
Oh, you're still thinking he's naked.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I was leaning into the joke, fellas.
I see. No, I thought we had moved forward.
I really hope he is okay. It's a good point to remember that hit where he fell, and he basically fell on his elbow, which those often hurt the shoulder. And he's such a good value this week in DFS that, man, get healthy, Brady.
Why does the report mention his t-shirt? I mean, what is the point of saying he's in a t-shirt? Is it just say he's not watching in pads? He's just watching in his...
What kind of t-shirt?
What a weird report, Greg.
Is this a polo? I mean, I said t-shirt, so I guess they're
I mean, he's in a t-shirt watching.
This ain't no button-up.
No.
Okay.
Most players wouldn't stand on the side wearing just a t-shirt.
Oh, my gosh. This is so fun. Gus Edwards, designated to return from the reserve PUP list.
Yes, we should have mentioned him yesterday on the waiver show because we knew that this time was possible.
Do you agree with that, Jason? Should we have mentioned him on the waiver show, or is he just a stick in the wheel for J.K. Dobbins?
I think that he's someone that should be mentioned. The dearth of running backs out there. You've got to pick him up. I mean, if we're talking about Brian Robinson, who I still feel like he's in a three-way timeshare, Gus Edwards comes back. You know, hopefully he's in a two-way timeshare of a team that historically wants to run the ball more than pass. They just haven't been able to because they've had all their running backs injured.
And
he's worth a look.
And Justice Hill got hurt during the game on an absolute manimal run. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Justice Hill got hurt essentially right after he got the ball and then was able to still limp for like 7 yards before getting off the field.
Oh, he Greg Jennings'd?
He did.
Greg Jennings.
Speaking of Brian Robinson, very good chance to make his debut in week 5, designated to return to practice.
He was designated, marked active the first day that they could do it. And even though you have 21 days, it was a good sign that he'll get on the field right away.
I have found it interesting when these various reports come out about Brian Robinson, how they label his injury, right? Because I don't think gunshot is on the normal.
It's not in the system?
It's lower body is what they're saying.
Mm, okay.
So that makes sense.
Yep.
But excited to see him on the field.
Yep.
The Broncos offensive coordinator came out and said Melvin Gordon will carry the load, obviously.
That's actually good to hear.
I mean, to hear that, yeah.
You worried with the neck injury and what we saw of Boone, them signing Latavius Murray. Melvin Gordon was kind of an afterthought because he's rostered in almost every league. But obviously in any league that he was on waivers, he should be a massive bid. But it's too late if you're listening to this now.
All right. What else do we have? Some Thursday Night Football updates. By the way, we will be live on Thursday Night Football. Very excited.
Yes.
Yay. I got Melvin Gordon in one of our leagues. He was available on waivers in one of our leagues.
He was?
Just right in the middle of the...
Yay.
That was the... How much did you pay?
70.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's worth it.
Yeah. Anything else from your waiver report? Do you want to do a report here on the news?
Yes. Second place was Andy Holloway, who did not get him.
I think I had 35 left in my FAB in that league.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Jason.
Thank you.
It's a big moment for you.
It is. I needed him after accidentally. Here's a pro tip on trades.
Yes.
When you offer a trade and is not seen or accepted, don't leave it there for weeks because I just traded away Jonathan Taylor for Christian McCaffrey to my opponent this week because I forgot that trade existed from long ago.
If we want to report other waiver news specific to our league, this would be a good time to mention that Papa Josh purchased himself some Caleb Huntley for 31 FAP.
Oh.
The next closest bid
was zero?
Zero. So it's amazing because here's the fantasy psychology, right? If the next closest bid was 30, Papa Josh is a genius.
Yep.
And you feel great. If the next highest bid is zero, you're a moron. Still spend 31 in both scenarios, right? The net is 31. I picked up Robert Woods. We talked about that situation. Mike Boone went for 10. Isaiah McKenzie went for 9. So those are lay of the land after yesterday's waiver show.
I bid 9 on Boone, so it's the opposite. It's the inverse, where I feel stupid because I could have gone to 11, and I did not.
Mm.
You're a cheapskate.
Mm. And I picked up Sky Moore, who you dropped, Mike.
Yeah, good luck with that.
If you weren't aware, Sky Moore was running a lot of routes for the first time, had a good targets per route run, but didn't have a big box score day.
Okay.
Just letting people
know. Yeah, I mean, brag it up. Russell Wilson limited in practice with the shoulder. And, guys, have the drop anymore?
I got a snake, man.
This is an important moment on the show. Jaguars legend Blake Bortles announced his retirement. Can I get that one more time?
I got a snake, man.
Oh, man. We had a snake, and this snake slithers off into the sunset.
Good man. For you, Blake.
We have a lot of reptile-based jokes on the show.
We live in a desert.
Oh, is that
there's a lot
is?
Of lizard people in the NFL, according to them.
Well, it's just a lot of lizard people in the world.
Right.
That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Quick break. Back with the Thursday night preview. Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Speaking of living in a desert, I'm very hot right now. Can we not? We don't have any
no air conditioning in this building.
Air conditioning to get it going.
It's maxed out.
Man.
Yeah. Have you thought about turning the fire off? The little campfire you guys got back there?
The sun?
We'll stop stoking the furnace.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, let's talk about this game.
Thursday Night Breakdown.
Well, we will be live on Twitch for the very first time with you during this game, calling the game, sharing fantasy analysis, breaking things down, reacting. Hopefully watching Jonathan Taylor. I think we're all rooting to watch Jonathan Taylor, are we not?
I am now.
Absolutely. I still am as well. You want Jonathan Taylor hopefully active in this game. It's better. It's more exciting. It's a bigger storyline for fantasy. Either way, you're going to have Melvin Gordon on the other side. So
yes.
There's lots of excitement here.
So we will be live on Twitch, ballerslive.com. If you follow us on Twitter, at the FFBallers, we'll be sending out notifications as soon as we go live. 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, with you for the first half of that game. The Colts 1-2-1, taking on the Denver Broncos, who are sitting at 2-2 right now. Did we get breaking news?
We did, yeah.
Kyle, go ahead and report this. This is.
Do we need the drop?
Sure. I mean, do we have the drop sitting around? Here we go.
Breaking news.
Kyle, go ahead.
Buccaneers great Cole Beasley has decided to retire effective immediately.
Buccaneers great.
He's ready to be with his family after playing 11 seasons. It's time to be a full-time dad and husband.
What?
This is called, oh, Julio and Chris Godwin are healthy. I don't get to play anymore. I'm
retired.
It was
a quick return. All right. Back to this breakdown.
It took a few extra games to really realize I want to be with my family.
This actually does happen quite a bit. When an aging player switches teams, they play a game or two, and then they're just like done. They just realize it's over.
All right.
So,
his heart's not in the NFL.
Yeah, Reggie
anymore.
Wayne, right? Remember camp with the Patriots for Reggie Wayne?
Oh. Patriots camp does that to a lot of players.
That's fair. All right. Yeah, did it to Eric Decker as well, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think so.
All right, the DraftKings Sportsbook line for this Thursday night football game is Denver -3.5. The over-under is just 42.5. These are two underperforming teams based on preseason expectations. Jason was the wide open NFC. You said the Colts would go and compete there. This has been really bad. I mean, this has not been the defense you had last year. The offense is definitely missing explosiveness right now, and you can hope that they find their groove. Brand new quarterback, the offensive line, Jonathan Taylor. Like, there's not a storyline with Indianapolis that's a positive one. Is there?
No. The storyline is the way that their season started, they looked like they were opening up the passing game. They were not just going to ground and pound with Jonathan Taylor, and they could not protect Matt Ryan. Remember, coming into the season, Matt Ryan finally gets a good offensive line.
Yeah.
Because the Colts had a great offensive line. The Falcons had a bad one. Not true. Apparently, this offensive line is banged up, hurt, or lacking the talent that they had last year, because it has been putrid on offense. Their passing game has not been able to get going. So then they said, okay, we're going to give the ball to Jonathan Taylor second half of week one. They rode him to some offensive success. They are 1-2-1, and we want to say, oh, well, it's just the offense that is disappointing here, but their defense has been maybe even more disappointing.
And then they get Shaq Leonard back, and he gets concussed and breaks his nose in his game that he returned.
Oof.
Yeah, so he barely returned. He's not going to play this game. Their defense is bad, their offense is bad, and they're going up against an offense that's struggling, but a defense that is not. The Denver Broncos defense has been very good. I don't see a lot of great plays on the Indianapolis Colts side.
Well, the one thing that we've seen consistently over the past 4 weeks has been the impact of the gigantic tight ends for Indianapolis. When you have Michael Pittman ... at your wide receiver position, Mo Alie-Cox, 2 touchdowns last week, Jelani Woods, 2 the week before. I believe Granson, did he score in week one or just was heavily involved? All three of them are being used. Alec Pierce came back. He was the target leader last week. He was the fantasy leader last week at the wide receiver position. I'm not recommending starting Alec Pierce, but it's very possible that he has a role the rest of the season that grows and continues to grow.
Yeah, he is a rookie, so he should naturally get better over the course of the season. Michael Pittman, disappointing this past week, but you're still playing him. We're 4 weeks in, and it feels like it's been a roulette for the Colts tight ends. But Mo Alie-Cox did take a pretty substantial jump in snaps and running routes and like was the clear number one this past week. That could easily flip back, but that's at least something to keep your eye on. Where the Broncos, I mean, they've been a shutdown defense, but in terms of fantasy points, 20th against fantasy tight end. So if there is a slight weakness for this defense for fantasy, it might end up being Mo Alie-Cox.
Yeah, maybe.
He's so big.
Yeah, I feel like trying to guess which one is difficult because you are hoping for that big touchdown. Now, Nyheim Hines, if Jonathan Taylor was to be out in this game, Denver's giving up the second highest yards per attempt to running backs. So this is another reason why if Jonathan Taylor plays, I'm playing him. But Nyheim Hines, is he a flex play without Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, I think he's a flex play because he'll end up catching the ball. They're not going to be able to run a lot without Jonathan Taylor, and the Colts defense has been bad. This game being at home for Denver, and you know their offense has clicked a little bit better over the last 2 weeks than the first 2 weeks. So if they are able to score, then you would expect the Colts to be in a negative game script where you're using Nyheim Hines if you're in a PPR league, and that would only be a full PPR play for me.
Russell Wilson against this defense that has struggled. Will we ever get what we determine to be a breakout game from this offense? Losing Javonte Williams doesn't help that. Melvin Gordon will get the start. Indianapolis has given up the 6th most receptions to the running back position.
Okay.
So if he's heavily utilized, Gordon is a strong play in this game. Cortland Sutton has been great. Jerry Judy finally scored last week. Jerry Judy, if you get the right week, you're very fortunate. Is there anybody else you'd mention on this offense? I mean, would you start Russ? I mean, that's another question.
Yeah, Russ is the big question because highly drafted, super disappointing, had a good week last week, but overall has looked like we're questioning if he's even still good. But we have to remember, even though this is the new system where you're going, oh, you're going to let Russ cook, if you look back at the last couple of years, and not just last year when he was injured, but the previous 2 years when he was a top 10 fantasy option, he spent half the year scorching the earth and half the year just absolutely stinking it up. There were large stretches where Russell Wilson sucked for fantasy purposes, where he wasn't
it's
good.
True.
I just went and looked. You know, he's in the teens, the 20s on a weekly finish, multiple weeks in a row, and then he follows it up with the number one overall quarterback finish. This is kind of how he's been for years, so it might just be, I mean, he could be a trade four target because of how bad he's been. It does not mean he's going to continue being awful. I think I'm going to go on the side of longevity and history at his age. He has not aged out of the position versus just this 2-3-4 week sample of looking poor.
Russ Wilson against the Indianapolis Colts or Jared Goff against the New England Patriots.
I would go.
It's on the road.
I would go Russell Wilson. I know Goff has been on fire, but that was against Seattle at home against the Patriots on the road. Aaron Rodgers wasn't great at home against the Patriots last week.
Carson Wentz at home against the Titans or Russ Wilson.
I'm going to hope for a better Russ game on primetime.
Yeah, I'll take the Thursday night football game.
Okay.
Are you in the hopes that this offense does get it going at some point? Are you interested in a trade for target of Jerry Judy at all?
Not Judy.
Yeah.
I just the more that I see, the less that I believe he's going to be the elite breakout that we hoped he was. Not that he can't be relevant for fantasy. You know, he was the wide receiver 17. Last week, but I don't think that the hopeful, hey, this guy's going to be, you know, going into the season, there was the hope that Sutton and Judy could both be top 15 wide receivers. That just does not appear to be in the cards.
Last week, 3-for-31, Michael Pittman on the other side. I wanted to just circle back to him real quick. Any worry about Pity City?
Not a bunch because he's just so necessary. Last week, he had two different touchdowns that were, he caught both balls. Out of bounds on one, out of bounds on the next, on the same drive. It was so close to being fine. It's disappointing, but he's getting the targets.
Would you rather have Sutton or Pittman rest the season?
Great question. Yeah. One I asked myself this morning without being able to come to an answer. So I think Sutton. But
yeah,
man, I kept going back and forth in my head because the youth and upside of Pittman seems better to me than Cortland Sutton, but Cortland Sutton.
The age gap's not really big, is it?
Well, I mean Sutton's been in the league for.
Cortland Sutton's about to be 27, and okay. Michael Pittman is 25.
Okay, so a couple years of experience. My point is.
This is dynasty then that you're thinking about?
Because
I was just thinking rest of this season.
It was both. I think they're kind of similar. Like if you thought for sure one player would be far better this year, that's probably who you'd want for dynasty.
I think that's got to be Cortland Sutton.
You think so? You would,
I got more confidence in Russell Wilson than I do Matt Ryan. I got more confidence in their offensive line and him figuring it out than Matt Ryan. And Alec Pierce is emerging a little bit. They have three tight ends. I mean, I think I think Sutton is just kind of locked at a really high floor, and we've seen Pittman's floor can get as bad as last week.
And it's the target share for Cortland Sutton over the last 3 weeks is 33%. So that's juicy.
Very juicy.
Very
Anything
juicy.
Else from this game you guys want to talk about? Again, we'll be live, ballerslive.com on Thursday, covering this game. Join us here. We'll be in the studio. Deucers will be here sharing insights from the game. Anything else from this matchup?
I don't think so. It's a pretty easy one.
Okay. All right. All the rankings, the start sit tool, all available on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. That is going to do it for today's episode of the podcast. A reminder, we will be live tonight as well on Spotify Live, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Grab the Spotify app if you want to tune in. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.